Welcome to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos. I run a tutoring company for K through 12 students who need help with reading, math, writing, study skills, ACT, SAT, prep, and more. My tutors work both virtually and in person. We specialize in really getting to know your kids and helping them thrive. I was a teacher and leader in a Georgia school system for 25 years. I saw what worked and what didn't. And there are definitely some gaps that teachers can't touch, which is why our tutors are so important. Teachers can only do so much. I'm here to bridge that gap between parents and teachers, to help your kids become successful in school and beyond. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos, and today I have another guest for you guys, and her name is Alicia DeVore. Is that correct? Did I say it right?
Alicia DeVore.
Alicia DeVore. Nice to meet you, Alicia. I'm glad you could join us.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Well, I want to introduce you to our, our parents and our people who are listening, and I know you're out of California, but I'm sure you do a lot of things virtually, like most of us.
I sure do. I offer online classes, and I am starting up a membership for gardeners.
Oh, awesome! So I guess she's giving you all a hint. Her company name is Create My Garden, right?
That's right.
And so let me introduce her. She is a garden coach and educator with years of teaching experience in public schools and homeschooling her own children for 17 years. Gardening has become an integral part of learning and bonding experience. That's true. Which has led her to assist other families in starting their own food gardens. She has a master's degree in education with reading specialty and a certified gardenery, kitchen, garden designer, and coach. Cool. Currently obtaining your horticultural certification through UCLA Extension and completing a certificate as a Life Lab certified garden educator. Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations on that. When are you wrapping that up?
I just finished the Life Lab certification, so that was really exciting for last semester, but I am taking courses and I'm in midway of my horticultural certification.
Oh, awesome. So are you in the central part of California or?
I am right above Central Valley. I'm in the northern part of California, but I also have lived for 20 years in Southern Cal. I have lived and I grew up in Central. So I have been on all areas of California.
That's pretty cool. So let me start by letting you talk about your journey as to what got you to where you are today and having your own business.
Well, as an educator, I always have wanted the very best for whoever I'm around, right? And when I had children, I decided I was going to homeschool after being a public school teacher because I just wanted to have that one-on-one with them before they were out of the nest. And as I was homeschooling in a tiny little home in Los Angeles, very overwhelmed with three little kids under the age of 10 and two of them that we had adopted, I was like, what am I doing every day? Well, I want to provide places and spaces for my kids to have life skills. And I want them to be able to connect with me. And my oldest son at the time was 10. And he's like, Mom, I just want to start a garden. And I'm like, honey, mommy kills everything that's green. So this would not be a good thing. And sure enough, my husband built us a little bed and everything died in that first garden. Everything turned yellow and died. And I was for sure thinking that I would never have a green thumb. But I called the soil company and I said, is there something wrong with the soil? I had no idea. I had no one mentoring me. I had no idea what I was doing. And back then, there was not the resources that there are now on the internet for figuring things out. And the soil company said, yeah, I think we were missing something. And they came and threw something in. And I threw out seeds because in Los Angeles, the weather is so amazing that things just started growing. And at that moment, I realized I was hooked. If I could grow something and have my kids watch the miracle of growing things and sit and in the little tiny garden and drink my coffee every morning before the day came and crazy happened, then it was a win for everybody in our family.
That's cool. Wow. Yeah, I'm not a really big green thumb person either, I hate to say. Sometimes I forget to water my plants. Sorry.
I so understand. And Helen, you're my kind of people because I was you. I didn't think I had that ability either. And I think one thing I want to do is help people, specifically busy people, learn that they can be more confident in gardening just one little step at a time. That it doesn't need to be something huge, that you can start small and let your heart grow as you garden.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I like it. So how does your experience in the public school system and homeschooling your own children influence your approach to garden coaching and education?
This is a great question. At the moment, I teach five live classes to public school students and homeschool families. So every week I'm in five different classes. And that experience has shown me that these skills of learning how to garden supersede how you're getting your education. But it helps everyone within their own personal development. When I teach in my weekly classes, I'm not only teaching gardening skills or gardening knowledge, but really I'm sharing patience. I'm helping them learn responsibility as they learn to water, or I'm teaching them how to watch things quietly. A lot of times in my gardening classes, we will go out and do nature walks and just quiet our hearts. And I have them with a piece of paper and they have to think, they have to look for five things. And then they have to hear four things, and then they have to smell three things, and they have to touch two things. And I normally don't let them eat anything. If we are in a real garden, I let them go and pick one thing to taste. So when they do that, you can see all of their effective filters, like opening up and being able to learn. And then we go back in the classroom where we have no garden, but I'm teaching them about a skill of gardening, and they're ready to receive it, and they're ready to learn and be calm. Even if they're in school all day long, they're ready for the gardening class because they've connected outside and they've connected with their hearts. And that's what gardening can really do. It brings peace.
Oh, yeah. I wish I loved it as much as, I love gardening. I love the product at the end and how beautiful it looks. And one time I got major poison ivy and I was like, I'm giving this up.
Oh, no.
And I was supposed to go to Israel after that, so I had to go see a doctor. I was like, that I loved it too. And I like mowing my own lawn for the longest time. Actually, we just gave away our lawnmower because we have a landscaping company now. And Jim, actually my husband, used to work in a nursery in Ohio for a while, so he'll do little things. And we actually have palm trees here in the front in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's
and
amazing.
He's actually, I have to tell this story, you'd love this. He had gotten the one palm tree, it was like this piece of, you know what, sitting at this like a Lowe's or some Home Depot where he got it, and it was like, you know, marked way down because it was dying or whatever. And he got it, and it is sitting in the front. I'll have to take a picture and send it to you. It's sitting in the front. I think we moved him to the back because he's a little shorter, and we put the taller one with the other taller one in the front. So we have one in the back too. I think that's the one, but it looks great. I mean, over that's the awesome. Years, he's always, that's his little baby. He takes that's care so of those funny. Things. One time he was out of town and it was snowing here, believe it or not. And there was ice on the thing. And first thing I saw him do is he comes in, goes to the garage, and I see him back outside, and he's like trying to yank that snow and stuff off these palm trees.
I bet. That's very impressive.
Yeah, I was like, and I'll say I've a lot of my career has been in a charter school, public school though.
Yeah.
And we were an IB school, International Baccalaureate. That's why I kind of want to introduce you to them, because they were doing some gardening stuff, and they brought in those Juice Plus things. One time it was one's in the cafeteria, one was in the library, one was somewhere else. And it was supposed to be the kids are supposed to keep up with this and take care of it and stuff like that. So, yeah, we try to do that through. I was a social studies teacher in middle school for many years, so I know my counterpart. She's still over there. So I know we have big planters out in the front now at that school. So they were trying to do stuff with it and do lessons. So
Yeah.
that you, I figure you'd love that. I had to tell
Yes.
you about those
Yes.
situations.
I think my struggle is I don't have gardens at locations yet because schools that I'm working with are trying to get them. They haven't gotten them yet. So I have to bring the knowledge and understanding and the hands-on experience every week without having an official garden. So I just want to encourage educators out there that and home, home educators, public school educators, just how important it is that if you even have just a pot and you send home seeds and they continue to grow in a pot. I have a student who whose mom will text me and say, "Look, what are we supposed to do now?" All from those 12 weeks that we spent together in the fall. She's growing 10 different fall garden things and has never done that before. And watching the miracle happen can really happen whether you have a space or not. And I think that's important to know that it's not a limitation. You can go and get knowledge and understanding and hands-on stuff if you're just a bit creative. So,
And if you're ever in Atlanta, you have to go to the Atlanta Botanical Gardens. You would
I
love it.
agree.
It's
That sounds
beautiful.
wonderful.
I'll take you. I'm a member. So we
Awesome.
just did some potting and stuff because I'm an entrepreneur. I can do this during the day. We went to the smaller version of their big one here, which is about 45 minutes north. It's Gainesville. And so they had us do begonias and pot them, and they were talking about them. And
How
two of them
fun.
are here in my house. So
How
far, they
fun.
have not died.
That's exciting.
So, yo, you love the botanical gardens. They've really done amazing stuff with that. And they just won, I think it was some competition with the light show. And they just beat out Houston and New York and some other big ones. And they got a big grant and a big money grant that they're going to use to reach out to the community and stuff, they said.
That's so
Yeah.
exciting.
A special message from Dynamis Learning Academy. Did you know that writing is a huge component of science, history, language arts, and so many other subjects in school? If your child struggles with writing, they will most likely struggle across the board in school. It doesn't have to be this way. Writing can be taught, and almost all kids need a refresher. At Dynamis Learning Academy, we have a 3-day online creative writing workshop that is fun and exciting for kids, but also gives them the strategies they need to improve their writing everywhere across the board, and especially in school. They even leave the class with a completed writing product. To learn more, reach out to us at 770-282-9931. Thank you. Could you provide some tips for parents who might be interested in starting their home garden but feel overwhelmed or unsure where to start?
Absolutely. Let's take your seasons. And if you plant the right plants and the right season according to your frost dates and your high and low temperatures, then that's one of the number one things. So let's just take spring. In spring, you're going to want to plant seeds like lettuce, spinach, bok choy, chard, kale. You can do carrots, but I usually save those mostly for fall because they need the extra time in winter to continue growing. But beets, radishes, you can grab all those things from seed and you can plant those out 6 to 8 weeks before your last frost. So when I get on the computer, I just put when's my last frost for my zip code, and that's the average, and I count 6 to 8 weeks. And you can plant out all those seeds. Take a container, make sure it's in full sun, make sure you water once every few days, and have it be a habit with your kids that you go outside and you stick your finger in the soil and you check the soil. Even in the cold, it still needs to get water. That's how it's insulated. For summer, you want to make sure that it is warm enough for the summer seeds or the summer transplants to go in. It needs to be 65 degrees in the soil for your tomatoes, for your cucumbers, for your beans, for your squash, for your peppers, eggplants. All of those things need it to be warm enough. So for that, you go in the computer and you say, what is the highs and lows for the zip code? You do not do it by zones. I do not agree that gardening should be in zones for your vegetable gardens. Zones are great for fruit trees. They're great for bushes. They're great for perennial plants like that. And they work well in those arenas. But for vegetable gardening, for instance, I'm in zone 9B. So are parts of Florida. But in Florida, they start growing tomatoes in the middle of January.
I believe
For me,
it.
I can't put a tomato out until middle of May.
Wow.
So if I believed that gardening zone, I would have a failure right there because my plants need to have the correct temperature to be able to thrive. And so if you wait till 65 degrees and higher, then you have set an expectation for your plants to succeed. So those are two tips for planting out in spring and planting out for summer.
That's awesome. I know my landscaping guy always says to me, Helen, we need to wait, especially in Atlanta, because hey, with global warming and everything, you don't know. We've had snow here in March. So he's like, I always say wait till after April 15th. That's an easy date to remember. You are probably 90 something percent sure nothing's going to happen in Atlanta after April 15th. So you
That's
won't
wonderful.
let me
Yes.
plant anything until after April 15th.
That's brilliant. That's smart planning and it builds up your confidence. Because if you have those few items in your head, like you said, April 15th, if you become more intuitive and you are as a gardener, then you're able to share with your kids how to be intuitive with their gardens too.
Yep, I agree. So, how do you believe gardening can contribute to a child's success in K through 12 education and potentially beyond?
Oh, there's so much gardening does. There are life skills like responsibility that happen when every day the students need to go out and water, check, look for bugs, teaching them how to flip over leaves and looking for the bugs that are good, looking for the bugs that are bad, looking to know how to organically help those things out, treating your plants kind of like your husband did with his palm tree. As their babies, there's something about the responsibility of building something and watching it grow slowly that slows down our students and lets them be able to have space to think. It's away from technology, it's away from screen time, getting out in the sun, vitamin D. What happens to our brains when we're able to just go outside and not have to do anything but observe? That skill of observation is huge. I think that science is happening. I think that learning skills are happening. I think that thinking skills are happening. I think there's so many synaptic activities happening within the brain that are calming that you just can't go wrong. But I think my very favorite thing about gardening with students is when their eyes light up and they're like, oh, my seed sprouted. You know, for me, they're coming back the next week, and some of them are saying, my seeds aren't doing anything. And I'm like, well, that's okay. Are you overwatering? Let's talk about the problem solving, right? Is it out in the sun? Did it just get hit by hail? Like, what's going on? Where do you have it placed? So problem solving is happening. But then I'm saying, okay, let's solve some of these problems, and then tell me in a week what happens. 90% of the kids come back saying, oh my goodness, my seed sprouted. I just had to wait, or I just had to put it in the sun, or I just needed to stop watering it so much. And with that is the enlightenment that they have control over helping something grow. And there is a power in that. And then being able to say, hey, this is self-sustaining. I say to my students all the time, if you ever needed to grow your own lettuce because you were hungry, you take a pot and a $3 seed packet and you can start growing lettuce in 52 days and you can cut and come again. So you can cut a third of it and then come back to it a couple of days later, cut another third of it. You can have salad every day, fresh. Just from your garden, and you can survive on some really great nutrition doing that. You'll never be without food if you know how to plant some salad. And that's what I'm doing this winter. I go out every day and I have a garden bed full of lettuce and spinach. And I have it covered because it's cold and because it frosted and it rained and it protects it. And in that garden, I'm saving $5 a day from a tub of lettuce. And it's fresh, it's nutritious, and it's easy to get to. And it gets my brain outside, and I get to relax as I have to slow down and cut and come again. And so it's just a really great skill to teach our kids that they're self-sufficient, they're responsible, they're able to take care of things and make things happen.
I was just about to say, gardening really teaches a whole lot of skills, and the ones you just mentioned, like problem solving. How about critical thinking? What are you going to do with it if it's not doing something right? And creativity, right? If
Exactly.
you're, so that's pretty cool.
The
And
creativity is one of my favorites. How are you going to design your garden this year? So one of the classes I'm teaching this next semester is to 4th to 8th graders, and it's designing a garden. And what we're doing the first 5 weeks is we're learning how to budget. We're learning how I'm taking garden catalogs, and we're figuring out how to create an ideal garden with a budget. And then I'm teaching them how to put a planting plan together, how to use intensive planting, how to use square foot gardening, how to do it, why to do it. And we're going to be making our own seed tape. We're going to be exploring how to make the creativity happen within a small space and within a budget. So that's the first 5 weeks of that course I'm really excited about. I just finished the downloads. I just finished writing all of that up. And super fun, super creative, and
That's
super
cool.
fun to watch them light up.
That's awesome. I know you have an opt-in, a freebie for our families that are listening. Do you want to tell them how they can get that?
Absolutely. So I believe in the show notes, there will be an opportunity to just go ahead and put your name and your email, and you will be getting 1 to 3 emails a week from me that are not obnoxious. I just share great information. I have some great blogging that I do that gives wonderful step-by-step ways of making gardening happen as a beginner gardener or as someone who wants to advance in their gardening. Some of the things I share are for children and families, and some are just for everybody that everyone can learn from those gardening skills. I'm going to be starting a YouTube in a few months, so I will be adding those resources. I want to make resources available. So if you opt into this download for children and learning how to garden with children, there's 3 activities. Then know that you still have a connection with me, and know that every week there will be more coming your way to help.
That's awesome. Well, I hope that parents are going to follow through with this, because this is something different. Like you said, it's not being on the screen, all the time, which is not totally good for kids. So it gives them another thing to do. Like, my husband loves to cook. All right. He does like to garden too, actually. He'll do some of it when he's not traveling. So definitely, folks, I mean, people complain all the time. I hear it all the time from parents. They're complaining about, if I could get this child off this technology, I would be happy. You gotta, I think we need to present them with other opportunities, because they don't know. They might want to be a horticulturist.
Exactly. And
Definitely.
my youngest is 14. He's got autism, so I still homeschool him. He's not able to go into a classroom and function, but every day he and I go outside to the garden in the fall, in the winter, in the spring. I don't care. We'll do it in very cold weather. We go outside. He holds a chicken. He talks to me. He helps me carry things out of the garden. He and I have a connection by even just being outside. And
That's
for
awesome.
him, gardening means talking to mommy with a chicken in my arms and being able to know that she's accessible to me while she picks lettuce. So yesterday I picked lettuce. He talked to me. I gave him a worm to give to some of the chickens. It was just a very sweet relationship that I would be missing out on if I didn't have those times to say, we're going outside, away from technology, away from being in. We're going outside to the garden, and he doesn't fight it. We just go outside. We just hang out.
Oh, that's great. I'm actually on the advisory council for Spectrum here in Atlanta, which is the Autism Support Center, and they do some gardening stuff, I think, with the kids too. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much, Alicia, for joining me today and sharing your knowledge of gardening with our audience. I appreciate you very much and
Oh, thank
everything
you
you're
for having
doing.
me. Thank you for
And
having me.
you're welcome. And all the notes will have the links for you all guys, and you can follow her. And I would definitely get the freebie so you can get on, the newsletter list too, that will tell you other things that you can be doing for your kids. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and we will see you again next week on Smart Parents, Successful Students. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to get the next episodes and to join our email list by going to www.dynamislearningacademy.com/podcast/. Also, it would warm my heart if you reviewed the podcast on Spotify and shared it with your community. And remember, I believe that every child would benefit from getting extra support outside the classroom, whether they are struggling or are part of an advanced or gifted program, because teachers just can't do it all. Please connect with me about our K-12 tutoring, SAT or ACT prep classes, and writing workshops to help your child excel in school. I can be reached through email at helen@dynamislearningacademy.com or by phone at 770-282-9931. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.